Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, politics of all kinds with Jill Derby, former Nevada Democratic State Party chair, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. She is the former Nevada Democratic State Party chair. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Nice to be here.
And we have so much to talk about, okay. So I want to get right to it. So first of all, you served with Steve Sisolak on the Nevada Board of Regents.
Right.
And you were the president of the Board of
chair
Regents.
Of the board.
Chair of the Board of mm-hmm. Regents at the time. And Howard Rosenberg was on this program before Governor Sisolak was elected. And he described Steve Sisolak as a bully. He said he's a bully in the same way that I am on behalf of the students. What's your take on that?
Well, Steve is certainly very, very forceful. And I don't know, you know, you could say, I wouldn't use the term bully, but he's very forceful when he gets committed to something. The Board of Regents was his first elective office, and there were big issues going on with students, and he became quite an advocate for them. And in doing so, is just a very forceful voice in speaking for those that he's advocating for.
Obviously, he has come under, you know, the worst possible conditions anybody could come under for a governor since Jim Gibbons was in office in the recession that followed him coming to office, which was, of course, not his fault. And neither is it Steve Sisolak's fault that he's dealing with COVID. Is he the kind of person in this type of situation that welcomes information from all sources, or is he... it strikes me that, for example, Kenny Gwynn had run so many things. You know, he ran the bank, he ran the Clark County School District, he ran the university system, that he was already a leader. He knew how to do this. Is Steve Sisolak that kind of person, or is he a different kind of leader in your
Well,
mind?
I think he's a different kind of leader than Kenny Gwynn. But, you know, he comes with quite a background of service, of public service. So he was 6-8 years, I'm not sure how long his term was in the end, on the Board of Regents. And then all his time on the Clark County Commission, and that's one of the powerhouses of the state, and he was chair of that commission, right? So he brings a lot in terms of a background of, in public service, of knowing certain important sectors, like the education sector and like the economy, particularly from a Clark County standpoint. And I think he has that gift. I don't know that anybody compares with Kenny Gwynn in terms of his sort of political prowess and smoothness and ability to sort of interpersonal strengths in that regard. I think that's a hard comparison. The other thing that I think is fair, and you mentioned it at the beginning, is I don't know if God on a good day could really win an election in Nevada today. It's just that the conditions are very, very tough. And to have what we're going on with COVID-19 and what it's done to the economy and how to make choices in that mix that is going to offend somebody or most people or different constituencies that you depend on, I think it's very tough. Because I think, excuse me, if you try to advocate on behalf of this, then you're going to offend these and so forth. I mean, just navigating COVID is tough. I mean, there are a lot of people that want to feel safe and appreciate the mandate for mask wearing, for example. And then there are people whose the economy and their particular piece of it is their absolute priority, understandably, are just very unhappy about that. What about the bars? What about the restaurants? What about et cetera? I think it's very tough, Sam, so I would say that about it.
Let's move into the university field then.
Okay.
Robert Lang posted a piece on Facebook today from UNLV.
Yeah.
Decrying the situation where he feels that the North is benefiting from what's going on with the budget discussions, and the university system in the South has taken the hits again. Is this the reality to you?
That isn't the reality to me, but I would have to look at it more closely. But honestly, Sam, that's a refrain that's been sung for just as long as I can remember. And when I was on the board for 18 years and knew all about this North-South tension that went on, Carol Harder and Joe Crowley and so on and so forth, did it in the best sort of good-naturedly way, but it was very tough. But it's always been that sense from the South. But I find that hard to believe as the South has gained so much political strength, really. Look at the legislature and so forth. I can't see that's a fair charge, but that's just always one that comes out of the South.
Okay, so and your point is well made, because that was my instant thought in reading the piece that he published, was that all the power has now moved to the South.
It has.
Who is it in the North that is directing the funding to go to the North instead of the South? I just don't see that.
Well, I don't see that, and Bill Raggio is long since gone, and he in fact did do that, and the South had a case to make at that time. And now things have really shifted, but I don't think that's fair. I mean, I think everybody in higher education is very frustrated. I was talking to the TMCC president recently by the cuts to education. I mean, really, if it were up to me, I would choose to raise some taxes and lose the next election. But, you know, Nevada's way down the list when it comes to education anyway, if you look at the whole profile of the country. And I just hate what's going on in terms of further cuts and further cuts. Our universities and our colleges have never quite recovered from what happened over 10 years ago. And now further cuts, it just diminishes the quality of life in the state and our future prospects and everything else. So, but I think any governor who wants to run for a second term is in a bad place that way.
All right, so you raise a fascinating point, which is statesmanship. The ability to make a decision based upon the fact that you know you will lose the next election.
Yeah.
So, if you're governor, I'm appointing you right now, what taxes would you raise in a time when we've gone through so much economic difficulty and continue to go through it?
Well, honestly, Sam, I would confer with a lot of the economic experts and try to, in that kind of consultative way, figure out which would be the best way to go forward. I don't know. I mean, Nevada has low taxes, and I know it draws in, you know, our not having an income tax. We've given a lot of tax breaks to a lot of companies that have come in, and that's pretty frustrating to people right now. They look at Tesla and others. I would look across the board to see what's possible there. I would make the case to the Nevada public. I would make the case to all those parents who have kids in school or will have kids in school. I would make the case about our colleges and universities that are going to be forced to raise tuition even higher and higher and leave more out. So I can't point to you right now and say exactly which taxes I would raise. I'd look across the board, what might be possible, and it would be unpopular with people, but I think the important position, a governor does have a bully pulpit and does have an opportunity to make the case for the overall social fabric, the health of the state, the future prospects, etc.
It seems, and I don't expect you to comment on this, it seems that gaming has a much louder voice at this point in time than the governor does.
What I want to say about that, gaming has a very loud voice in Nevada. It's never been different. It's the same today. And look at the difficult position the governor's in, trying to mediate really what is best for the citizens of Nevada and what's best for gaming when in fact those two interests diverge. And I think in this case they do. I mean, Nevada's numbers in terms of COVID-19 have certainly climbed. And a lot of that is the opening of the casinos. I mean, casinos are a natural place, a breeding ground for the spread of this virus. And I think it's a very difficult time to be a governor. I just have to say that. I think you're being pulled in a lot of different directions, and you're not going to make any decisions that are going to please everybody.
Yes, and I do want to play devil's advocate here on behalf of gaming. I wish to say that I think that Matt Maddox took the lead from Wynn Resorts in proposing a cleanliness factor for the casinos that everybody has followed through with.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, casinos have done as good a job as possible.
I think so.
Unless you want to shut down. Because, I mean, you know, look at what we're faced with.
I know.
If you shut down gaming and the tourism industry in Nevada, which essentially it has been shut down, but we're seeing pent-up demand, what happens to Nevada? Because it doesn't look to me like the feds are riding in on the cavalry to save us. And so if we don't have tax revenue that's going to come from gaming, where are we going to be?
Well, that's why it's a very difficult equation. And I don't mean to pile on gaming, not at all. I mean, I look at what they've done. I followed that. And what they did down in Las Vegas particularly, and I'm sure other places as well, was heroic. And it was the best they could do. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the lifeblood of Nevada, the gaming industry. What do you do about that? So then you err on the side of risking the health of more and more people. And is it fair to the people that work there, that whose livelihoods depend on it? I mean, we've been hearing that from the people that work in the hotel and the service industry that supports across the board that industry. It does put them at risk. I mean, these are difficult moral questions, aren't they, Sam?
All right, but you are 100% correct. I love you, Jill. It's so much fun to talk to you. All right, so you are here. You are in my studio. You traveled from your home in Gardnerville to come here to my studio in Reno. You took a chance in doing that based upon what you're saying about the gaming industry, but yet you're here. And I'm thinking that the quality of life that you like to enjoy, which is where conversation and being involved in politics and being involved in how things are run, is important to you. So therefore, you have made a cost-benefit analysis that it's worth it to come in here and address this audience. But you're not staying home and hiding in your home, which is fine if that's what people choose to do. I'm not choosing to do it. You're not choosing to do it.
Okay, but Sam, I'm not sure about that analogy. Let's compare ourselves to Italy at the height of their virus infection and where they were making the moral choices about who lives and who doesn't live. And there's a flavor of that that's going on right now. I mean, who are you going to throw under the bus? It's sort of like when you talk about opening the schools and what a compelling case can be made about opening the schools. Oh my gosh. Everybody agrees we need to open the schools, but how do you open them safely? What about the teachers? They are the people much more at risk. What about the janitors in those schools? What about, you see, one of the things that's going on is the service people in this economy. We've got a whole new recognition, and we saw that a lot. Andrew Cuomo recognized them in New York over and over again. The service people, who are probably the lowest paid, are the ones that are most at risk having to do their jobs. And so these are important moral choices. And how do you thread that needle? I don't know.
Okay.
You have the economy. We need the economy. People have to live. But people are dying from this coronavirus.
What about, yes, they are. But what about, and you know,
Who do you throw under the bus?
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus because I don't have enough buses. But look at the news reports. The news reports say, and this was, I'm quoting from this morning's Reno Gazette Journal, three people died in Washoe County in the past 24 hours from COVID. And then it says, two people in their 80s, one person in their 70s, all with underlying health conditions. So what did they actually die from? Did they die from COVID or did they die from the underlying health conditions? There is, you know, money being promoted towards, if it's a COVID-related illness, then, you know, there's more money available for that hospital, that doctor, whatever. So, you know, if somebody's 105 and they die, they're gonna, and it can be attached to COVID, then those numbers are gonna go up. I'm not 100% sure we have the realistic numbers that we should have. I could be 100% wrong, and I'm willing to admit that. But here's the thing though. Suicides, domestic violence, child abuse, all these things are on the increase because we're keeping people locked down. Where is the balance between evolution, which is this virus is nature. It's not some, you know, I mean, yes, it came out of a Chinese wet market, but it's, you know, you're a cultural anthropologist, so you know that these things are part of nature. How do we balance that out?
Okay, Sam, there's more to it than that. It's a very, very, very critical moral question. And people are trying to thread a needle in terms of protecting the vulnerable. Now, I know people, you and some others like to point to 80, 90, 105 years old. No, a lot of other people are dying. The rest of the vulnerable list includes, Okay, not only the elderly, but people are vulnerable who have other kinds of conditions. And if you look across the population, it's a pretty high percent people that are recovering from cancer or have had cancer and chemotherapy has left them, people with autoimmune diseases and so on and so forth. So it's easy to point that, is it okay to just let the 90-year-olds go? Because, you know, we have probably too many in the population anyway. But be careful about throwing any group of people under the bus. And I want to suggest to you that because we risk our service people at well, and they don't always have the voice, you've got to take all that into consideration. I think it's a very difficult moral choice, and I think you need to try to thread the needle to keep as many people as possible, as safe as possible, and somehow keep the economy going adequately so we have a chance to recover and people can get paychecks. Now, I have to tell you, this is where the federal government comes in, and I think the federal government has let us down in terms of the way they've distributed money. Europe has had a better model than that, and in terms of the next phase of support for people, I think we need to look at what the federal government can do to support people, which gives you a better opportunity to open up reasonably but provide people with an income so there aren't these long food lines. It's not being handled well in this country, and we're pitiful in the eyes of the world, which concerns me very much.
Okay, on that note, we will take a break. We will make some money to pay for this program, and we'll be right back.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
This stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She is the former Nevada Democratic State Party Chair. Joe Biden. So whether you love Joe Biden or not, Joe is going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
The most important question, I think, for most people is, who is going to be the vice presidential nominee? Who are your top three choices now that he said it's going to be a woman?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I want to say, now that it's got to be a woman, it leaves out some people that I thought might have been very good choices.
For example?
But, well, Cory Booker, maybe.
Yes.
You know, it is what it is, and I appreciate that, and I think women everywhere appreciate that. But the country is in such a fragile state. You want the best possible people. Now, I want to tell you that one of my top three, I'm not going to give you an order here, would be Susan Rice. And I picked Susan Rice because she was Obama's national security advisor, and she knows about foreign policy. Because I work in the Middle East, in Iraqi Kurdistan, and I know the Middle East well, and I often pay very close attention, in fact, to what's going on over there, I'm worried about our position in the world. I'm worried about all the claims that we're hearing now, America's in decline, and proof of it is look right now where we are in terms of this pandemic. And in fact, George Will, the eminent pundit who writes for the Wall Street Journal, said pitiful yesterday, the way we're being looked at. And wow, that just hits me hard. But it's also all the threats to the world. You know, yes, we've had diseases before, Sam, but this is something new, this pandemic. And there's so much that's not known about it, but we're promised that we're going to have more.
Okay,
so
okay,
we really okay. are.
Okay, we're running short of time. I've got to take one more break. We'll come back. We'll have a couple of more minutes, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything. From wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's the former Nevada Democratic State Party Chair. Okay, we've got 2 minutes left. So you ran twice for CD2.
Mm-hmm.
Is Washoe County going to fall blue enough that it could make a change, or is that just a hope for Democrats for the future?
Well, it's always a challenge, because what you've got that balances out is the rural Nevada. They're very conservative, they're overwhelmingly Republican, and they overwhelmingly vote. So, you know, whether or not the population of Washoe is big enough to do that, and the way the partisan divide plays out, I don't know. I think that's always an unknown. You know, I came as close as anybody has so far.
Absolutely.
But the political dynamics now are such that I think there might be an opportunity to win that seat. But it's tough because of all the rurals that are included, Sam.
And you ran as a Blue Dog Democrat.
Yes, I did.
Which, for those that may not know, is a conservative Democrat.
A moderate Democrat, certainly.
Yeah, and that was based on your family history. It's going to be tough for another candidate to be able to reproduce that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, the political dynamics now are up in the air. And, you know, everybody's saying, look, Trump's numbers are way down. He may go down in defeat. Listen, 4 months before the last 2016 election, we got it all wrong then, too. So there's still a lot that's undecided. I'm quite hopeful about it. And supporting a number of Senate candidates around the country to, I think, flipping the Senate is a high priority for Democrats.
Have you lost confidence in public polling? Not private polling, but public polling?
Well, I'm skeptical, that's all. You know, I haven't lost confidence, no, but I think you have to approach it with a certain degree of skepticism.
Who's answering the phone these days?
Well, I'm skeptical.
Okay. Please come back. We have so much more to talk about because you have such expertise in foreign affairs, and we need to discuss that. So
okay.
Come back next month if you would.
We will. Give me a date.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.